First Mundakam, consisting of two sections, present the teaching briefly. Then the second Mundakam elaborately presents the subject matter. And in the second Mundakam, first section deals with Sat. I told an Upanishad presents Brahman being the cause of the creation. Brahman as the cause of the creation. Thereby it helps us to arrive at Brahman being pure existence. Through the Karya Karana Prakriya, through the Srishti Prakriya, Upanishad presents or reveals, establishes Brahman being pure existence. You saw that. And that pure existence, Brahman is always experienced as the manifest existence along with the Namarupam Jagat. But the Brahman as pure existence without the Namarupam Jagat is always pure consciousness. It is not experienced as an object, but it is always there as the very subject. Thereafter, we have moved on to the second section of the second Mundakam, which presents, which deals with chit aspect, the consciousness aspect. In fact, the pure existence is nothing but pure consciousness. But pure consciousness, as we already seen, the pure existence is not available for experience, not available for objectification, not available as an object. The pure existence is pure consciousness, but pure consciousness is the very content of the I. And there we have to understand, we have to remember Tattvabodha here. It is easy to remember. And what is this pure consciousness? As we have seen the pure existence, so also the pure consciousness also, because happens to be one and the same. Pure consciousness and pure existence being one and the same, pure consciousness is one. And pure consciousness is distinct. Pure consciousness pervades every being, pervades the entire body, mind and complex, exists, but still pure consciousness is distinct from the body, mind and complex. Sthula sukshma karana sharirad vyatiriktam. Vyatiriktaha atma. Vyatirikta means what? Vilakshanaha. Distinct from the body, mind and complex. This consciousness, which is distinct from body, which pervades the body, mind and complex, enlivens the body, mind and complex, lends sentiency and consciousness to the body, mind and complex, but distinct from the body, different from the body, mind and complex. This consciousness is not limited by the boundaries of the body, mind and complex. It means it pervades everything. It's always available for recognition only as the very subject of knowledge, or as the content of I, as the very substance, essence of the essential nature of the I, as one's own real self. And this consciousness, the self of all the beings. This much we have seen last class. And here we always, you know, can go to the example of light and electricity, the bulb and electricity. When you see the bulb is glowing, it is bright, it is shining, and this similarly, this physical body is alive, conscious, and sentient. It is visible. Physical body is visible, just as this bulb is visible. But electricity, without which the bulb cannot glow, electricity is invisible. Like here also, consciousness is invisible. And here, even when the, we know very well, this electricity does not depend upon the bulb for its existence, whereas the bulb is very much dependent on the electricity, isn't it? Even to glow. But here we can say, just as opaque object is dependent on the light for its existence, so also the body, mind's inert body, mind and complex are matter in its matter as a whole is dependent on consciousness for its existence. And here is when the bulb is broken, the filament is, you know, is broken also, still electricity continues to exist. Simply when the body is destroyed, the body is killed, the body dies also, still consciousness continues to exist. We do not deny the existence of electricity when the bulb gets fused. Similarly here also, when the body bulb becomes fused, does not mean consciousness is not there. Therefore, consciousness is always there. How? We have seen in other texts also, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, independently, all pervadingly, pervasively, it is there. So the chit is the main subject matter of the topic discussed here. And in the same second section, one more important thing is, having presented this much about this consciousness, Upanishad says this consciousness is chit, in fact, is the existence, the Paramatma. So Paramatma Swarupam, the truth of the whole cosmos, is, when you say existence, that existence is, why Paramatma, when you say, when Jagat is manifest, what is that which is manifest as the Jagat? Existence. So that existence is nothing but pure consciousness, which is the meaning of the word I, the self of all the beings. They are not two different things. This Jivatma, Paramatma, Swarupa, Aikyam is established. The second section. Then, this fact, every human mind has to assimilate this fact of the oneness of the Swarupam of the individual and the total, the universe. This Jivatmas, Paramatmas, Swarupa, Aikya Jnanam is possible only if a person is prepared for Aikya Jnanam. Dridha Jnanam is possible only if a person is ready for that Jnanam. And for which Upanishad presents an analogy, very popular analogy of He plays archery. There he says, archery involves three things: arrow, bow, and a target. When somebody is shooting, wants to shoot his arrow, then there must be a target, there is a bow, and there is an arrow. So here, arrow, this Jivatma is likened to an arrow. And what is Paramatma? The target is the Brahman, the Paramatma. And here, what is the bow? Actually, teaching of the Shastram. Shastra Patanam together represent what? You know, the bow represents both teaching and the study, and which is represented by the word Pranavaha. So, in archery, the arrow has to go and hit the target and remain there, become one with that target. So, this Jivatma, Paramatma, Swarupa Aikya Jnanam has to happen. Is it? In fact, Jivatma can never become one with Paramatma. Jivatma is already one with Paramatma. So, here between the arrow and the target, there is physical distance, time distance also. It has to travel from this corner to the, it has to go towards the target. And it takes some time also for the arrow to reach that, however short or long. Whereas here, there is no such physical distance or time distance between Atma and the Jivatma and Paramatma. The distance is caused by ignorance. It's a notional distance. I am a jivaha. I am a limited being. That notion being there, ignorance caused wrong notion being the distance. Ignorance has to be eliminated only by knowledge, which has to be brought about by teaching. Isn't it? So, elimination of ignorance has to take place only by teaching. Therefore, the teaching, for the arrow to reach the target, it needs what? So arrow itself cannot go. It needs the support of the bow. Without support of bow, arrow cannot reach. Similarly, here, what is that support? Isn't it? So Shastra Patanam, Patanam, the teaching and the study of the Upanishads and Shastram is represented by the Pranavaha. Pranavaha Omkaraha. The mantra presents Pranavaha, which represents the bow. So when you take the bow of Shastra study and study systematically, carefully, for length of time, without developing any, sometimes we become very inconsistent. And sometimes our own understanding make sort of, we have false knowledge. I know everything, I have understood everything, it's all repetition, I don't need to listen. Such a feeling may come in a person's mind. So overcoming all one's own problems, continuously listening until this doubt resolves. Until one is able to accept this, the truth about oneself, being pure consciousness, which is the existence of the whole cosmos. There is no other existence, there is no other reality, there is no other truth other than consciousness, which is one's own swarupam. Not only one's own swarupam, which is the swarupam of the whole. When a person understands one's own swarupam is consciousness, which implies one being very clear about the swarupam of everything being pure consciousness, Brahman. Until this jnanam takes place, one has to have that perseverance, one has to continue to study systematically, regularly. That study is emphasized by the pranavaha dhanuhu. Then this arrow also, even though there is a bow available, even the shastra study is there, if still the individual is not prepared for the jnanam, then also this assimilation of this fact won't be that easy. Not that easy, it's not possible. And which is said, that's why the arrow also, if the arrow has to go and hit the target, means arrow must be straight and sharp. The two things. The arrow is bent and it is crooked and the edge is blunt, then arrow can go, it can won't go and hit the Brahma, it can go somewhere, hit somewhere. The arrow has to go straight and hit the target, means it must be straight without any crookedness, it must not be blunt, it must be sharp. Similarly, here also, one's mind must be, mind must be steady and pure. Steady and pure. Is it? Intellect must be sharp. The pure mind alone, the intellect can be sharp enough to absorb this, understand this. Therefore, the intellectual sharpness will be possible only if a person is mentally steady and pure, isn't it? Emotionally strong. Very important. Otherwise, people who are very, very emotional, they can't really understand this subtle facts. For example, yesterday I was talking to somebody on the phone, and she told me, well, I'm very happy, we're all learning now Abhirami Andadi, it's very beautiful and all that. And the Tamil professor who is teaching, I'm very happy that they're learning something. The Tamil teacher who is teaching is also very good. My students are studying with somebody else now. And then the old lady said, because the teacher told, my father fell sick, and then he wanted, he said, take me, the devotion I like. But still, people think that much is the knowledge, isn't it? Then he fell sick, he couldn't even talk, and then he told the person to take him to the temple, and he sat there, and he couldn't even speak, and every verse Abhiramanda they were chanting, and after last word he said, when they finish, 100 words are there, and then he could speak. Of course, that's all possible. See, when you have intense faith and you fervently pray, your prayer will work. Your Parabdha also allows it. Even to have that much faith also, I'm not saying no. Prayer is very, very effective. When you faithfully, intensely, desperately, helplessly, you really pray fervently, your prayers will work. But he became all right, physically all right. That's fine. But that itself is not the end. That does not mean he's going to be living. Of course, without suffering, he can be alive. One can live on Sparabdha without suffering. Isn't it? That is fine. For which we need Bhagavan's grace. To end one's Prarabdha without suffering, one needs Bhagavan's grace. We have to lose our suffering. Much of suffering, one has to end Prarabdha. We need Bhagavan's grace. Therefore, that is fine. You have to pray for that. But you can't stop the Prarabdha ending. You can't stop what? The Agami again coming. Again, the next set of Sanchitam getting ready. That you can't stop. Isn't it? And actually, this is not the ending of Prarabdha. This karma is not an end of everything. Definitely, one needs to have that knowledge. Value of knowledge is something different. So people are very emotional, they cry and all that, and then they miss out this part. That is why it is very important for one to mentally steady, emotionally strong, and then with also commitment to dharma, which is purity, mental purity, and without which the intellect cannot be sharp enough to understand and to be focused and to, you know, assimilate this fact of oneness of the truth, reality. That is why this bow, just as the bow should be straight and sharp, one's mind also should be sharp and steady, straightforward. For which we imply the straightforwardness, arjavam, rujuta. One must live a life of dharma. It is also emphasized here. So this, through this analogy of this archery, in a sense, the bow arrow example, Upanishad presents that the already you are Brahman. You are Brahman. Whether you know that or not, whether you accept it or not, the truth is you are Brahman. And you are going to become Brahman. But for you to know you are already Brahman, unless you know you are Brahman, you can never know what is there is only Brahman. Look at this. What is there is only Brahman. All that is here is only Brahman. For which, to understand that fact, you should know you are Brahman. You are already Brahman. That's why it did. Now, actually, is there a distance between Paramatma and you? There's no distance. What is the distance between water and the ocean? What is the distance between wave and the water, the ocean? There's no distance. Similarly, what is the distance between the light and the opaque? There's no distance. Therefore, the distance being not there, only caused by ignorance, that distance has to be removed only by knowledge. Therefore, knowledge involves teaching. Therefore, that's why the bow represents the Shastra, Patanam and Patanam. So it's very important for one to be committed to, one to be committed to live a life of dharma. Thereby one takes care of one's mental purity and mental steadiness, which will contribute for adequate intellectual sharpness to assimilate this fact. It's also revealed. Okay? And with that mantra, with the teaching of that preparedness, how to prepare oneself for that knowledge, then Upanishad, the second section also ends. And I told you last class also, the important mantra there are two mantras are there. Brahma Purastad, Brahma Paschad, no? Remember that one. All that is there is only Brahman, that last mantra. And Ratra Suryo Bhati, which is again very special mantra, which is also in Kathopanishad, which establishes the self-effulgence. Now, Atma Surupam being self-effulgence. Atma is of the nature of self-effulgence. That is established by that mantra. Like Nana Chidra Katodrastita verse. So with that, second section also is over. Then comes the third part, third mundakam. In the third mundakam, mainly the Upanishad presents the disciplines. Disciplines. The important discipline, the technical discipline. See, what is that first technical discipline the Upanishad presents? When Upanishad addresses you, you are Brahman, and it says, it means the pure consciousness. And you are the whole, when it says, this is a fact. If this fact has to be properly understood and processed, you are Brahman, and Upanishad says, you are the limitless reality, you are the whole, means it has to be properly processed and understood. Why? Because when we say you, it means the body. It also means, when we in our day-to-day conversation, you can mean the body, you can mean the mind, you also means the subtle, you also means, isn't it, consciousness. And here we have to understand, every I, every individual is a composite of three factors. What are they? One is the body, physical body, and the, you can also say, the subtle body. Physical body and subtle body together, the material body. The material body, mind, sense complex, you can say. The material body, mind, sense complex, which involves both subtle and gross body, which is a manifesting medium. The subtle and gross together, I can say, the material product, inert material product, which is a manifesting medium. And there is also manifest consciousness. There is manifest consciousness. Then pure consciousness. Therefore, in fact, now you can understand this body, mind, sense complex, the inert material product, which is a manifesting medium. Like just as this bulb is the manifesting medium for electricity, on the filament, isn't it? Together. So here also you can say, the whole body, mind, sense complex is manifesting medium. And there is a manifest consciousness. That manifest consciousness is in fact ahankaraha. Manifest consciousness is ahankaraha. Ahankara is the manifest consciousness. Then there must be pure consciousness. When there is no time, this pure consciousness is not, isn't it? There is always pure consciousness. Here, this between these two, of the pure consciousness and the manifest consciousness, you know the swarupam of pure consciousness, beginningless, endless, changeless, independent, indestructible, all-pervasive. You know that very well. So it's of the nature of limitlessness. But the manifest consciousness has a beginning. Manifest consciousness has beginning. See, electricity is always there. Electricity has no beginning. No beginning. But when Raghuji brought the bulb and put it, then the manifestation of electricity, isn't it? So that has a beginning. Isn't it? Therefore, when does the bulb get fused? Here, when the sukshma shariram, even the whole body is a manifesting medium. Whole body mind complex is manifesting medium. But still, the sukshma, isn't it, directly manifests in a very, very special system we have. It is capable of manifesting consciousness. Highest form of manifestation is possible in this given medium. Like electricity is one, but manifesting media are different. Not one bulb, so many bulbs. Electricity is one. Not only one gadget, okay? We have fans, we have so many things. Many things operated by electricity. Like that, the beings are where the upadis are different. ఔపాధిక భేద. లైక్ అమీబా ఆన్వర్డ్స్ పారమిజం, ఆన్వర్డ్స్ ఎలిఫెంట్ అండ్ టైగర్స్ అండ్ ఉపాధిస్ ఆర్ సో వెరైటీస్ ఆఫ్ ఉపాధిస్. ది మేనిఫెస్టింగ్ మీడియా ఆర్ మెనీ 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 ఇన్యూమరబ్లీ కౌంట్లెస్. ది ప్లాంట్ బాడీ ఈజ్ అ మేనిఫెస్టింగ్ మీడియం, ఇజంట్ ఇట్? అనిమల్ బాడీ ఈజ్ అ మేనిఫెస్టింగ్ మీడియం, ఫ్లై ఈజ్ అ మేనిఫెస్టింగ్ మీడియం, ఇన్సెక్ట్ ఈజ్ మేనిఫెస్టింగ్ మీడియం, యూనిసెల్యులర్ ఆర్గానిజమ్స్ ఆర్ ఆల్ మేనిఫెస్టింగ్ మీడియా, ఆల్ ది ఫార్మ్స్, ఇజంట్ ఇట్? ద మీడియం వేరీస్. మీడియా ఆర్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ ఈచ్ అదర్. దే ఆర్ సో మెనీ వెరైటీస్ ఆఫ్ మీడియా, ఇజంట్ ఇట్? బట్ therefore, in keeping with the manifesting medium, the manifestation also, what no, the level of manifestation also differs. That is why you can't expect a lion or an elephant to go and study. Why? Because their manifestation is there. You can't, there is manifestation of consciousness. But the level of the consciousness, the source of, isn't it? The source knowledge is one and the same. There is no difference between the pure consciousness is one and the same. But the manifest, there is a difference in manifestation, in keeping with the manifesting medium. Why there is difference between the consciousness in an animal and consciousness in a human being? Hey, there is no difference in a consciousness in the stone. There is consciousness in stone. There is consciousness in fact, in consciousness everything is. But we can, for our understanding, we can say in consciousness everything is. But there is consciousness in stone. There is consciousness in a living being, a plant. And there is consciousness in human being. What is the difference? Consciousness is the same, but difference is in manifesting medium. Therefore, now in stone there is, isn't it? There is no sukshma at all. That is why it is just a stone. This is, there is consciousness is, but it is not manifest. And in a plant, consciousness is, it is manifest. How do you understand? Sprouts come, everything come, it grows. But how much is manifest? It can't run. It's called sthavara. Sthavara means what? Tishtati, it is sthavaram. Immobile. Now it is very clever. Our chrysanthemum plants, what happened? Sunlight is not enough, it goes like this. That much knowledge is there. It goes, because sun is not there, it wants sun, it goes towards like this, comes always. That much is there. The branches can, but it can't move. It will go and stand there. That is the level of manifestation. So that does not mean, so consciousness in all the beings, you can, there is not inferior consciousness, superior consciousness. Consciousness is one and the same. But inferiority or superiority is based on the manifesting medium. Only for the manifestation of consciousness. It can't manifest itself more than, better than, isn't it? So, upadhika bhedataha, due to the differences in upadhis, the manifestation of consciousness, isn't it? There's difference in manifestation, but not in consciousness. Otherwise, how can I talk about the oneness of reality? Madatma sarvabhutatma tasmai shri gurave nama. Myself is a self of all the beings. How can you say that? One must know very clearly one's own real self is pure consciousness, and then one can understand the pure consciousness is the self of all the beings. with reference to which there is no Bhedaha. But Bhedaha differs from where? Bhedaha starts from where? The manifestation of consciousness, isn't it? But in keeping with the manifesting medium. Therefore, Upanishad addresses, you are Brahman, you are not born, you have no beginning, you do not have end, you are not object to any change, you are distinct, you are object to all the limitations of body, mind, complex, etc. When Upanishad addresses, the I means the pure consciousness. Upanishad does not mean the manifest consciousness. The sukshma shariram, when the mind is here, there is manifest consciousness. Is it? The mind always has manifestation of, because it's subtle. But when the manifesting medium mind goes, the manifest consciousness also what now? The consciousness becomes, consciousness continues to be there. When the filament goes off, bulb continues to be there, electricity continues to be there. There are few bulbs do not burn now. Look at this. Electricity is there, bulb is there. We can't think, because the other bulb is not burning, we can't say that there is no electricity. Manifesting medium is absent. Something gone wrong with that. So sukshma leaves, the manifesting medium has gone. Like in a stone, consciousness is in the dead body, unmanifest. Consciousness is there as pure consciousness. The dead body, there is pure consciousness. In a stone, there is pure consciousness. When that's why, when the mind enters in, when the newborn baby is born, what do we say? Not a birth of consciousness, it is manifestation, beginning of manifestation of consciousness. Death is what? End of manifestation. It changes. Manifestation comes, has beginning, manifestation has an end. But consciousness doesn't begin, doesn't end. Is it manifestation? Manifestation, but when the child is born, that means this sukshma assumed as thulam. Sukshma shariram has assumed as thulam. Even though sukshma shariram always has consciousness, but the sukshma needs this thulam for it to be functional. Understand? It's always.
Oh, is it the other way around?
What?
The body needs the sukshma. No,
body needs sukshma to be alive.
Yeah.
Sukshma also needs this thulam to be functional.
Meditation.
See, sukshmam shariram minus thulam will be non-functional, out of office. Or out of office hours. Non-functional. Thulam minus sukshma will be empty office. Non-functional. Empty office, isn't it? People are not, they mean, what is the office? There's no, nothing is, office building is there, no activity there. Well, what does it mean? People who work in the office are not present. Okay? So minus officers, office will be empty. Minus without, out of office, no function, isn't it? Same way, the sukshma without the sthulam will be non-functional, cannot be functional. Sukshma needs the sthulam to be functional. But sthulam without sukshma will be dead. That does not mean consciousness is not there in sthulam. That does not mean consciousness is not there in sukshma. Understand? Consciousness is always there in sthulam, always there in sukshma. But what is that the manifest, isn't it? the total manifestation, the for the consciousness to be manifest totally, sthulam and sukshmas to be together. And total manifestation. Is it clear? Only then you can see that manifestation. There must be good filament, there must be good bulb. Mere filament without the bulb, it is broken. Okay, here you can see the glow. But here it's not possible, isn't it? So this must be there. So electricity is always there. Similarly, here also we say this sthula sukshma, isn't it? The sthulam constantly undergoes a change and the sukshma is always there. So the manifestation of consciousness alone is what has a beginning, has an end. That manifestation, isn't that this way? In science, what happens in science? The manifestation of consciousness, for them, matter is always there. And they say, the life, Darwinian theory actually say, the life has a beginning, life comes late, joins later on. What they mean by the origination of life is, they mean the manifestation of consciousness. This, according to them, the life begins. They mean by saying consciousness begins. For them, consciousness comes later on. Matter is there already. In ulta, okay? If we say consciousness doesn't begin, matter also has no beginning.
Yes.
Understand? Matter is also beginningless, endless, but matter is of the nature of undergoing changes. Consciousness has no beginning, consciousness has no end, consciousness is not subject to change. That is why absolutely eternal is consciousness, perennially eternal is matter. They are not two different things. Why? Because consciousness alone is taken to be the reality. Matter has no independent existence. Therefore we say, understand? Matter has no independent existence, therefore we don't count it as a second thing other than consciousness. What is reality, what is absolutely real is consciousness. Got it? Therefore, that is a beautiful thing, isn't it? That is why this is the nature. But this matter, without the matter, consciousness cannot, become manifest. Consciousness does not depend upon matter for its existence. But consciousness needs the matter to become manifest. That is why we say, without Devi, Shiva is Jadam.
The moment I am Jadam.
Don't worry, tomorrow you will regain your energy. You'll come back, and Shakti will come back tomorrow. That does not mean, It's a minus, the powerful minus power is powerless, isn't it? But this Shakti, this matter, has no independent existence. But this consciousness needs matter for manifestation. So without Shiva, Shakti cannot even exist. But without Shakti, Shiva cannot manifest. That is why they are inseparable. Like the word and its meaning. You can never separate light and the opaque. You can never separate consciousness and matter. That is why our British author said, Tapta ayapindavadu. Tapta ayapindavadu. That like the heat and iron ball. They are inseparable. There is consciousness, there is matter. It is distinct from the matter, no doubt. But we do not count matter as a second thing. You do talk about consciousness separately. You do talk about the matter separately. Why can't we say two things are there? That is why our scriptures very beautifully, what now, all our Puranas depicted Shiva and Shakti. Two forms, personifications of two things, consciousness and matter. But we don't count it as Ardhanarishvara. Why? We don't count it, give matter an independent status. It is not counted as a second thing, another thing. Accountability is not there for the matter, because it has no independent existence. If without the consciousness, matter can exist independently by itself, even if the consciousness is not there, then we can say what? Matter can be counted as a second thing. Then you can say the two realities. We can say, talk about Dvaita, isn't it? Two realities. Now we cannot talk about two realities because we do not count the matter as a second reality. That is, we give the status what? Mithya. Which is not unreal. It's not a non-existent thing. Nor is it real because it has no independent existence. It is not something outside of existence. Consciousness. Therefore, because the matter will be non-existent, if as good as non-existent without consciousness. Therefore, we say what? This doesn't exist outside of consciousness or without consciousness. Like the stillness in the H2O. The power, that is, this matter, the power through which the consciousness manifests itself. The power through which matter is the Shakti, the power through which the consciousness manifests itself. All varieties of manifestations can be reduced to what? Threefold manifestations. Jnana Shakti, Iccha Shakti, Kriya Shakti. So power, Shakti, the matter is the Shakti, the power through which consciousness manifests itself. But this matter is not something away from, distant from, different from consciousness. But consciousness is different. Is it clear? Matter is not away, distant, different from consciousness. But consciousness is distinct and different from consciousness. Then we give the example of water. Water is not the wave, but the wave is water. We give it as a grossest example to understand the much subtler fact. When you say cannot be counted as a second thing, then say, what is there is only Satyam. Whatever is there other than Satyam is Mithya. That is why, see, it is not, woman is not considered inferior in culture, Indian culture. Woman is given equal status. Make it. Of course, man and woman, every individual is what? Constitution of the composite of three factors. Pure consciousness, manifest consciousness, and the material body imagines complex. Of these three, what are you? Where do you want to place I? You are not the body imagines complex. Listen now, the material product, nor are you the manifest consciousness. You are pure consciousness. You are means what? You got the point that I'm saying. See, what is I now? Every reflection. See, when you see your face in a mirror, mirror is a reflecting medium. I give another gross example to make something subtle much clearer. See, mirror is a reflecting medium. And you see your face, the reflection of your face. Of course, the reflection of face is nothing but this face, original face. But the original face is definitely not the reflection. Mm-hmm. When the mirror breaks, reflection goes. But the original face continues to be there. Isn't it? So every reflection is the original face. Okay, this tool, this medium goes, you want a mirror is broken, the reflection has gone. At home you have a mirror, I don't want to use the word broken at all because breaking mirror is not right. But I'm just giving an example. When the mirror is, for us, the mirror is always Lakshmi. We always try not to break glasses. That is why in weddings and all auspicious occasions, we are very careful not to use this glass containers and all those things. Because we think breaking glasses or something, breaking anything in a good occasions is inauspicious. We are very careful in handling things and all those things. What I am saying, when the mirror breaks, reflection goes. When the new mirror is brought in, you see yourself, then you, isn't it, reflection has a beginning, reflection has an end, in keeping with the availability of the reflecting medium. Is it clear? So the I becomes manifest, I becomes resolved. What happened to the reflection? Reflection has not gone anywhere. Isn't I actually? Consciousness is not I, but I is what? Manifest consciousness is pure consciousness. Is it clear now? The man ahankara is aham. Is it? Ahankaram, this manifest consciousness identified with the body mentions complex becomes ahankara. Manifest consciousness identified with the pure consciousness, Brahma. Actually, you are pure consciousness, Brahman. This is a fact because it's really a very baffling fact. That is why it has to be analyzed again and again and again. It will be understood very clearly. Because all people ask about, oh my God, what is that? What is this matter? Then how to account for matter? Are they really one then? Matter is different. Consciousness is different. But we don't say, we don't consider it as an independent entity. Non-entity, minus consciousness, matter will be non-entity. But this consciousness, for it to become manifest, it needs the matter, the Shakti. Okay? Therefore, this is the first technical discipline that one has to, when Upanishad says, you are Brahman, the consciousness, if you yourself as an individual being composite of three factors, what does Upanishad really mean? We say it's not the manifest consciousness, it is not the manifesting medium, it is the pure consciousness, which is the truth of everything. Aham Brahma, then Sarvam Brahma, therefore Ahamidam Sarvam. All that is there is me. If you want to say, you should mean what by that I, consciousness. It's the first technical discipline which Upanishad teaches through a verse, Dvau Sakhayo Suparna. Understand now? Yeah. This is This is what is taught through that mantra. Which mantra? Two birds sitting, perching on the same tree, and one sits quietly without eating the fruits, just watching the other bird making lots of noise and eating the fruits of the tree. Sukhadukhadi, part of the punya pava palani, it eats. And it's, the fruit is very sweet, very sweet. Fruit is very bitter, oh, very bitter. Making all sorts of forms, you know. The other bird eats. And the one bird just watches. So the tree stands for the body, mind, sense complex, the manifesting medium. The other bird which eats and enjoys, makes all fuss about the taste of the fruits, is the one who is so engrossed in the body, mind, sense complex, the tree and its fruits, which is ahankara. Understand? Identity, just clarity here. An other bird which watches quietly is what? Pure consciousness. Sakshi. Understand? This is of the three composites of every individual being, a composite of three factors. And what is that? What is that you? Isn't it? You are Brahman. This is the first thing. So, we'll see the next offers. We have tea break now.